The drive from New York to Union Bridge, Maryland is a few hours, but I figured it was worth it, because a real nice capstone on a related project that I had nothing to do with really directly, but which I was going to have a chance to collaborate in, was coming to an end. And the director, Zach, wanted me involved. And where else to do this interview than one of my favorite arcades in the world? This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Jeff Atwood, Daniel Boyd, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. The arcade is called Save Point. It's in Union Bridge, Maryland, and it's run by Eric and Stephanie and a whole range of kids who are all dedicated to making the business work. Now, the arcade doesn't make really any money. You can pay a flat fee and play as many games as you want. And there are a beautiful variety, from games created just in the last few years to some of the earliest ones from the 1970s. Where the business makes its money, actually, is renting out massive amounts of these machines to local and not-so-local conferences. Conferences like anime conventions, furry conventions, where you have the whole vending area and then some other room full of video games set on free, where people can go down and play as much as they want to as part of their conference ticket. Eric and Stephanie get money to transport the machines, set up the rooms, make sure everything's working, and then take them away at the end. That could be their entire business. But they love running a room full of machines on all the time where kids come in, play video games, and enjoy themselves. And it was at this location that I told Zach Weddington, the director of Arcadia, that I was ready for my interview. Zach's been working on this documentary for years now, filming major creators, talking to people who were experts in all sorts of varieties of machines, and he had always promised me that I was going to be in it too. As a historian, as a commenter, some role, but he really wanted me in there, a kind of full circle to when I first set off on doing an arcade documentary over 10 years ago. People who know me know I never quite got it finished. It became a major decision of if I could work on the documentaries or do my work with the Internet Archive. And ultimately, the archive won out. Zach, meanwhile, got my arcadedocumentary.com domain and has been filming interviews all over with the help of some very talented people who have made it look truly spectacular. I was always proud of the way I could frame and shoot things with the equipment I was given, but Zach has really taken it to another level. So on the appointed day, I drove down to Union Bridge, and he had set up an entire set for me, with all of these blinking machines in the background, a comfortable chair to sit in, and after a range of pre-discussions, we sat down and interviewed me for about 2 hours, give or take. I'm a veteran of 350 interviews, on the other side, running the camera, asking the questions, knowing what I really desire out of people, but then moving and bending as they go in directions I didn't expect. So I knew, really, what Zach wanted. What Zach wanted was a bridging interview, one that could be put in between chapters or add some layers to what was being discussed. At no point did Zach tell me what to say, but I knew what needed to be said. He asked me a bunch of historical questions, and if I didn't know, I would tell him, and then other times asked me to speculate or give some opinions on areas that other people may or may not have been comfortable talking about. For me, it was all stuff I'd been researching back when I was working on a documentary, so it was easy to discuss. For example, I'd picked up a lot of gossip and stories about organized crime and its influence in video games. I could talk about the unique zoning and the later laws that led to the growth and then death of arcades in the 1980s. And I could discuss what about these games persisted and why you could take a machine from 30 years before and still find a home for it. Zach had questions, but I had many more answers. In many ways, it was a conclusion after years about thinking about this film. I had really wanted to make an arcade documentary. I wanted people to think not just so much about this sold this many units and this business came to rise and this one came to fall. I wanted to talk about the feelings of arcades, these places, these dark locations, and how they affected us. And Zach gave me an opportunity to do that. Out of all the work we did together on this interview, I was using a lot of my knowledge picked up from being on the other side of the camera, so I thought I would share that. Unless your documentary is of a very specific type, you're looking for statements, clear, present statements about this happened then. I thought this. This is what I experienced. This was that. I say with few exceptions because with some amount of editing, you can put together incomplete or simple reaction shots and be able to piece together a quilt of interrelated shots to tell a story. But that's difficult. What you really want is something on the screen visually illustrating what's being discussed in clear language in the voices over it. That's what I was trying to give Zach, and I was able, for this one interview, to give him the one instruction that allowed him to override the golden rule of every other documentary interview you might do. Feel free to interrupt me if you don't think you're going to use this. Because part of doing an interview is making people feel comfortable. While there's a historical value in letting somebody who's an expert of a domain talk about things so that you have that record, if you're down to the wire with a production and you just need a little bit more to make things happen, it can really be a gift to say, I'm just going to give you edit-ready answers. I'm going to tell you exactly what you were looking for to put over this shot or between these two other interviews. Zach really throws himself into the breach when he's working on films. He did the Viva Amiga documentary, and I saw the same thing happen. A bright, happy kid turned into a worn-down warrior trying to get every last shot he needed that he could. He didn't go into full goblin mode, but he definitely looked like he'd spent some time in a dryer. When you're working on documentaries, you never know how many you're ultimately going to get. You never know if this is the last one, if you're going to do one or 50 more. You just have no idea. More than many different fields, it's so quick. You put out your film, you show it at some festivals, you get some bites about some prospective other ideas, and then life gets in the way. You just end up living a different way, and you can't really afford to drive out to distant places to talk to people. You've got to put the camera down. So I don't know if this is Zach's last film, but I do know that sitting there with him and Stephanie and Eric watching me, I was able to give some long, complete answers, ones he was seeking, but also ones I wanted to give, to be able to get my words, possibly, into a film, words I had hoped were going to be in mine. And in that way, I was helping Zach, but Zach was absolutely saving me. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to James Bakoyanu, Mark Pilgrim, Ernie Hershey, Michael Rubin, Dileep Reddy, Sean Kelly, Trixie the Cat, Martin, Sembiance, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere, who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. The arcade is Save Point in Union Bridge, Maryland. The documentary, arcadedocumentary.com. Having all of these dedicated folks together for an afternoon was a gift. And as time goes on, you have to recognize, hold on to, and appreciate when gifts come your way.